God, we thank you for this great morning and this time that we gather again as the church outside of these walls to worship you. Father, I pray that through the Holy Spirit that you would unite us, believers, even beyond Bethel Church, those who are joining us, Lord, that you unite us as one. Because for those who have surrendered their life to you, we are your children. Father, I thank you for the worship that we've had so far this morning, Lord. I pray that you would challenge our hearts and our minds as we look at your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, friends. I hope you all know how much that you are loved and appreciated. I greatly miss seeing all of you. It's a little strange that you get to see me, but that I don't get to see you. I'm not sure who's getting the better end of that deal. We had record numbers of people joining us online last week, indicating that many people that are joining us don't typically attend Bethel Church here in Fargo. And here's what we want you to know. You are welcome. We love you. And we're glad that you are joining us for worship as well. We're celebrating the many ways that God is using this unfamiliar and extraordinary circumstances. Many of you are being creative in the ways that you are being a church without walls. We're hearing all kinds of stories to how you are loving God and you're loving others and you're serving the world. And I just want to say thank you. One example is the prayer wall on our website. It's blowing up with prayer requests and people who are willing to stand in the gap to care for one another, to lift each other up before the Lord. A couple of important notes that I want to share with you before we get started this morning is that we are doing our best to stay in contact with you through social media and the e-news. Those are our two primary sources. Hopefully each of you, or many of you, should have received a postcard in the mail this past week. And there are several things on there. I just want to draw your attention to again in case you didn't get it, or maybe you kind of scanned it quickly. But just this encouragement to pray for one another. That's back to our prayer wall. You can find that on our website, bethelfc.com. If you need help, you can call our church at 701-232-4476. And I need you to know that we have an answering service that answers our phones after hours, and we'll get the message. You can give help through this time that we are separated and we are a church without walls. You can go on our website, and at the top, there's this red banner. You click on that, and there's some ideas down there under each of the tabs of loving God, loving others, and serving the world, of ways that you can be the hands and the feet of Jesus. You can also support the work here at Bethel Church. We've had many people ask us, how do we continue to give our tithes and offerings in light of the fact that we're not gathered as a church in the building? And you can do that as well online. You can follow the links there to give online. Or a couple other ideas, you could drop off a check here at the church office during business hours if you'd like, or you can put a check in the mail. We greatly appreciate your support during this time. We want you to stay connected. And again, Bethel E-News, hopefully you're receiving that. And we encourage you to join a small group. We've got small groups going on, virtually, of course, and you can join one of those online under small groups. Bethel students are meeting again today at 4 o'clock, virtually, and they had record numbers last week online, gathering together through Zoom. So check that out. And Bethel Kids activities, of course, are canceled to further notice, but stay connected through Facebook. There's channels, by the way, for students and women and kids, or all of our ministries through our Facebook. So please check those out. Some are asking, how long will we have to meet virtually? And the answer is not a simple one because of all of the unknowns. What we do know is that this is our new normal for foreseeable future. In other words, plan on this until you hear differently. One of the things that we are rolling out this week that I'm really excited about is something called 30 for 30. And it's my desire in my heart, and as well as our MLT and elders, that we continue to shepherd you and continue to point you towards Jesus and continue to encourage you to be in the word and in prayer and in worship. And so this week we're rolling out something called 30 for 30, and we are challenging our entire listening and watching audience to join us in this on this journey for 30 days, 30 minutes a day. And we all know that we're finding some extra time during these days, so hopefully you can carve out 30 minutes a day for 30 days. We're asking you to dive deeper into the Word, to dive into prayer, and to dive into worship. So we're rolling out something called 30 for 30, and you're going to be able to find that on our website. You can also sign up. You can sign up on a link to say, I'm going to receive this in my inbox every day, or you could follow the link on Facebook every single day as well. And we're writing devotionals for that. Our entire MLT are writing devotionals for that to kind of guide you and give you some things to think about during this time. Last week, we did an interactive service, and I want to do that again today. I want to throw some questions back to you and have you have some time, whether you're by yourself or whether you're with your family. So here's our first one. I want to start with this. In light of all that we're experiencing, this new normal, what do you miss most about the way things used to be? So take a minute, just take 1 minute, and kind of give some thought to that question. As I mentioned last week, in light of the circumstances we find ourselves in, I chose to step out of the series that I had started entitled I Am, and I chose to start a new series entitled A Church with No Walls. Through Easter, I'll be talking about faith and hope and love. Today, I want to start by talking about faith. And to kick things off, let me remind you of the definition of faith that's found in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what you do not see. As to say, faith requires a wholehearted trust in God who can see what we cannot. And appropriate for these days. Today we're going to turn our attention to Mark 9:14 through 24. And this passage of scripture is one of my favorite passages of scripture when we talk about the topic of faith. It's a powerful reminder to us, especially during these days of uncertainty, that faith has no limits. And in the passage right before this, we read that Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John up the mountain. And oftentimes when we read that in Scripture, we know that it was probably a time of prayer. They were away alone. And while the three disciples were off alone with Jesus, the other disciples were engaged in an argument with the religious leaders of the day. Let's begin by talking about what it means to be bold. And let's look at verses 14 through 16. It says this. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with the wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. So as soon as Jesus came within eyesight, the people saw him and flocked to him. But instead of giving high fives and hugs, because maybe they had social distancing back then, he just came right out and asked, "What in the world could you possibly be arguing about?" As though to say, "I've only been gone a short time." And the man who was at the center of attention and the focal point of this debate, he spoke up. Verse 17 and 18, a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." So what do we have in this passage so far? A desperate father and a demon-possessed son. The boy couldn't speak. The spirit would throw him to the ground. He'd foam at the mouth, gnashed his teeth. And I want us to take our attention off of the boy, though, for a second. And I want us to put our attention and our focus on the dad. Because as I was thinking about the father in this story, the word bold kept coming to my mind. Obviously, he was at a point of desperation, hoping to save his son and to rescue him from these evil spirits. But nonetheless, this father was bold. The idea of being bold means to go beyond the usual limits of conventional thought or action. So to be bold is to be confident. And Jesus welcomes our boldness. In fact, the Bible tells us to be bold. The Bible tells us to be confident. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I want to read that one more time because it's so powerful. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne with grace and confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That is exactly what this father was doing. Only he had the luxury of physically bringing his son to Jesus. He could have lived passive and hoped that Jesus would have found him. He could have allowed his doubt to convince him that there was no hope. He could have just relied upon his own abilities to help his own son. But instead, he did what every one of us are invited to do. He was bold. He went looking for Jesus. He refused to sit back and do nothing. He refused to blame God for his situation. He refused to just accept the reality. He refused to say that nothing can be done. Never, friends, never allow your circumstances of life to overshadow your boldness. What we're seeing in this passage is that our bold faith has no limits. What situations, what relationships, circumstances are you just accepting, saying it is what it is, instead of taking it to Jesus in confidence that you might receive mercy and grace in your time of need? What answers do you need? What direction do you need? What wisdom do you need? Let's have a little interaction time for just a couple of minutes. Here's what I'd like you to do. And kids, you can do this. Students, you can do this. And hopefully you're together, maybe in the house. You can share this time together. Share of a time when things were too hard and you wanted to quit. Maybe it was a job or a team or a relationship or a goal or a project. Let's take 2 minutes and just share that with each other. Just like this father, we too have things in our life that we need to be bold about and things that we need to take to Jesus in confidence. He has set before us in this passage of Scripture a great example of what it means to live bold. And the disciples had already tried to exercise their faith and to heal this boy on their own to no avail. And the religious leaders responded by debating them and taunting them because of their failure. And it was in the midst of this argument that Jesus walks up and addresses the issue and really kind of in a polite manner says, I'll take it from here. Verse 19 says this, "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring me the boy." What is the opposite of faith? Doubt. Even the disciples lacked faith, and even the disciples doubted at times. So faith and doubt, of course, are polar opposites. They are the extremes of each other. And most of us are probably somewhere in between those two extremes on a given day. Sometimes we live by faith, and sometimes we're swallowed by doubt. How do we know when we are leaning more towards the side of doubt or more towards the side of faith? I like to think of faith and doubt as buckets. And there's some indicators of which bucket are we drawing from. There's some indicators of faith, like we admit that there is no way that we can solve it on our own. And we might say, God is in control. Another indicator is that we go to Jesus first. Or we pray often about it. Or we don't just accept it as our new normal. It's going to be this way forever, so to speak. Or God is on our mind. Or there's no rugs to sweep things under. Or we live life outside of our circumstances, trusting God. Those are indicators of faith. Well, what about doubt? When we try and solve it ourselves, when we pursue every option before Jesus, when we seldom pray about it, when we say things like I said earlier, it is what it is, or when we pretend it isn't there by minimizing it, or when we sweep it under the rug, hoping that it will just go away. Do you know that everything in life we place either in the faith bucket or the doubt bucket? And I think that if we had to be real honest, because I think that this pandemic that we're experiencing has awakened in all of us, if we had to be real honest, sometimes our doubt bucket is much fuller than our faith bucket. When we think of things like money and finances, or a marriage, or our deep needs that we feel aren't being met, or our kids, or job, or insecurities, or anxiety, and depression, or happiness, or peace, or control, or friendships, success, temptation, which bucket are you drawing from? I need reminders like this one today to spur me on towards a bold faith. Maybe like you, my natural bent because of my sinfulness is to lean more so on the side of doubt and live like I have more faith in myself than I do in my God. Verse 20 through 22 says, "So they brought him, and when the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. And he fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, 'How long has he been like this?' 'From childhood,' he answered. 'It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him.'" The object of our doubt, in other words, that which is too big, that seems too big, listen, it cowers in the presence of Jesus. Bring your circumstances, no matter how big they may seem, and they will always cower in the presence of Jesus. Nothing in your life has power over Jesus. But to the contrary, Jesus has power over everything in your life. The father had a choice. He could either just accept the way his son was and make the best of it, or he could step out in bold faith and bring his son to the true object of his faith, and that is Jesus. And my encouragement to you is don't allow the things of this life to appear bigger than God. We're going to see in just a second, verse 22, the second part says, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." If you can do anything, Jesus. The boy's condition was pretty obvious to Jesus, but notice that Jesus didn't act until he was asked. This is a really important part of faith. He inquired of the father about the boy, asking, "How long has he been like this?" But notice something here. Jesus did not just heal the boy, nor did he say to the father, "Would you like me to heal him?" Jesus waited for the father to ask in faith. There are many things we can learn from this, but the one thing that really strikes me about this is that I wonder how many things Jesus didn't or hasn't done because we have not asked. Are we fully convinced that God can? Here's another interaction. What in this life have I allowed to appear bigger than God? Take another minute. Let this passage be a reminder that God can. There's a statement we often use. It goes like this: nothing is impossible for God. I want you to say that with me. Nothing is impossible for God. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Say it again. Nothing is impossible for God. If you're in different rooms of your house, say it loud enough that the people in the other room can hear you. One more time. Nothing is impossible for God. The question is, do you believe that? Is there anything in your life right now that you are saying God can, but living as though God can't? God has given us something that is greater than our own ability to control life. He has given us faith. Faith to believe in Him, the one who controls all things. Secondly, it's this idea of be sure. And it's that second part of verse 22 and 23. It says this, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And then there's that next verse, 23. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. Jesus said, if you can, this is the Father asking, if you can, he's saying back to him, if I can, what do you mean if I can? I'm Jesus, the one and only Son of God. Do you know who you're talking to? Of course I can. If you were in the crowd that day, maybe you would have turned to the person next to you, and when he said, well, Jesus, if you could do this, maybe you would have turned to the person next to you and said, well, that's a really stupid question. I mean, why would somebody ask that question? Of course he can. Remember, faith is not a matter of will he, but can he? Our faith needs to be in the fact that he can do it. The word faith means firm persuasion. And what does it mean to be persuaded? To induce to believe by appealing to reason or understanding, or simply just means to be convinced. So faith means we have been persuaded. It means that God, through his word and through him revealing himself to us, has appealed to us to be convinced. Are you convinced? The greater our faith becomes, the better chance that our prayers will be in line with God's will for us. Because the greater our faith becomes, the more we desire God's will for us. Faith is never about what you want. It's always about what God wants. Maybe the reason we struggle with faith and prayer sometimes is because we have not learned to want what God wants. James 1:6 says this, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Thirdly, be humble, verse 24. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Like this father, let us humble ourselves before Jesus and say the same thing. I do believe, God, but I want to believe more. Will you help me, God, increase my faith in you? Matthew 17:20 through 21. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now we know to physically move a mountain into the sea would be impossible. And that, my friends, is exactly what Jesus is using this illustration as of what faith can do. While we are limited in what we can accomplish, God has no limitations. I want you to take 30 seconds in this last interaction and say to God, just even if you're together, say to God, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Just say, take a minute and say that to God. During this unfamiliar and uncertain season, where does your faith need to increase? What are you concerned about? What's consuming your thoughts? What are you trying to control that's not yours to control? The scripture has taught us three things this morning: to be bold, to be sure, and to be humble. I want to leave you with one thing, and it's this: know that faith has no limits. Be bold and approach God's throne of grace in confidence with your requests. Maybe take some time today and go before God's throne in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that from your word we can learn about what it means to have a bold faith, especially during times like this, when everything seems so out of control, when everything has changed around us, that in faith we can trust you. In faith we can walk in confidence, knowing that you can see what we cannot. Thank you for that. Bless my friends today. Remind them that you are there and that you love them, that you care about them. In Jesus' name.